Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening, and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Touring Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, thoroughly recommend checking out the podcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Hi, I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering a very special episode of Robot Wars Extreme as we cover the second World Championship. And we're not doing it alone, because we have two very special guests. Firstly, one, the most patient human being I know. I know that she is, because she puts up with me once a fortnight. It's my co-host on the DCAU podcast, Rebecca.
Hi.
And
also, about that. It's very easy to put up with you. You make all the notes.
And also joining us is a roboteer and a former guest on this show. Returning to us is Sarah Mallion.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. It's good to be back. Good to be back. Should I do the posh voice this time?
Yes. The entire... was it Duchess of Bonkington?
The Queen of Bonkingham Palace. Thank you.
I beg your pardon, my lady.
You're excused.
Oh, thank you.
The whole episode, goodness me. I shall attempt it.
Challenge accepted.
So, just in terms of previous experience, I realised when I started watching this, I had never actually watched this episode before.
Really?
Wow. I didn't watch it when it came out on TV. I can't remember why. I would have been at school at the time, so maybe it was a school thing, I don't know.
At 7 at night?
I was at a private school.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were you
one
doing
can relate.
At private school?
One can relate.
Wait a minute. Oh no, it wouldn't have been, because it was December 30th. That'll be why, because it was December 30th. 2001 it aired.
Too busy Christmasing.
Yeah, for 4 days, probably. Absolutely. So, I'm assuming, Chris, you watched it at the time.
Yeah, I pretty much just lived off this shit back in the day.
Sarah, were you watching at this point, or...?
I'm afraid that one does not remember doing so, but one has dutifully watched it in time for this episode, so one knows what one's talking about, sort of.
And this is the second episode of Robot Wars you've ever watched, Rebecca. The L one being
fully,
the other
fully.
One.
I'm sure I flicked onto it occasionally when I was growing up. Yeah, this is the second full episode I've actually watched.
Which means you've seen the entire two worst Chaos 2 matches of its career. Pretty much.
Very much appreciated.
Yikes.
No, they deserve it.
Sorry, George. Sorry, George.
Please do
humbly accept our apologies.
We would genuinely love to have you on the podcast. Please, you're our hero.
Yes. I love that we're all assuming that he's actually listening and probably not just doing something much better with his life.
Of course cool. He is.
He totally is.
So...
Totally is what? That was a very, like, left-open kind of statement there.
So, the format of this championship is a lot different from the previous one. The previous one was, I think it was like a 16-robot single elimination tournament that took about an hour and a quarter. This is 45 minutes, and the first half of that is 4 four-way matches.
It didn't. It seemed very low key to me for a championship.
And what's Star's brother got to do with this?
No, I just like it's like halfway through I kind of realised the significance of it. I thought it was just an episode. I mean, like, I know Alan's told me before why I was going to be on this episode, and I should have known. But it was just like there didn't seem a lot of pomp and circumstance until they got more towards the end, and I was quite surprised at that.
Yeah, after they got out of the melees is when it maybe kind of kicked in. It's like, oh, this is for something quite big.
Yeah, it was more like, oh, this is what it's always like, and then it was like, oh no, this is actually like a big deal.
And I think it's as well, the other difference is, unlike the previous World Championship where they literally had to do like, oh, this robot that's actually from London is actually from Cyprus. And this robot...
Oh, that was ridiculous, yeah.
Kilohertz was from the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
because
here...
I've got half parents there or something.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like with the exception of Firestorm and Razor and Chaos 2, it felt a bit like, who's up for it? Whose robot works? Come on.
Yeah,
we got to do this thing.
You think they're hard enough?
So I think what happened with this as well, because I think Series 5, I think, was taken in two batches. At the same time they were filming Robot Wars Extreme, which is what this comes under, which at the same time they were doing this championship, they were also doing the American Championship, which is why they had... four robots from that championship show up.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally meant to be the final four in the American Championship, but one of them had to withdraw,
Panzer?
Which is how Drill... No, one, whichever
no,
one...
No, it wasn't Panzer.
Whichever one...
No, Panzer's in this.
Whichever one the Revolutionists beat.
Brute,
I think it was.
Okay.
But that's how Drillzilla got in.
I thought Drozella just got in because it is the coolest concept of robot.
Probably.
Do you think also it's easy to be tainted by modern robot wars and modern battle bots, which is just by comparison so destructive? And you go back to old episodes of robot wars and you almost think, oh, bless.
It's even when you watch, because right now Series 3 of the reboot of BattleBots is on TV. And then when you look at what the difference 4 years later as well, it's insane.
Can I use Kraken as an amazing example of that? Because somebody recently posted a photo of old Kraken from Series 3 and it looks so dorky compared to the most recent iterations of it. And
or even stuff like Hypershock, like because I'm one of those people that's frantically trying to collect all the hex bugs. And now realizing that they're going to start releasing more of them in the UK because of the TV show, I can maybe finish my collection. Mm-hmm. But I looked into it and I read that there was actually like an old school Hypershock made with the attachable rake. And because they went through such a drastic redesign for like the following year's competition, they scrapped it.
I'm offended by that.
I know. And now I know that there is a hex bug because I've seen the actual hex bug there. There is one of them in the world and I want it. Give me it.
Yeah, as much as
I love Grace is trying to collect every single robot toy that exists. I should maybe explain this.
Yes.
We're also forgetting that there's going to be a rusty hex bug.
Yes.
And if that doesn't send shockwaves of delight through you, I don't know what will.
I've never seen a rusty match. Anyway...
Yeah, and who's
end conversation.
Right. And who's Rusty's partner going to be in the Hexbug set? The new Hypershock.
pleases me immensely.
So, indeed, the first match.
No, I want to talk more about Hexbox.
Well, it's almost 9 o'clock at night, so come on.
Overruled.
So,
spot the sport. Go on, Alan.
Graham. Mm.
Can you, I said go on, Alan. I said go on. Go on.
Okay. Grizz, can you do the introductions for the first match, please?
Can do. Before we get into introducing the robots, I should preface by saying that I watched the Extreme Warrior, so the American version of this show, to try and see any differences. So
yeah, because there's three versions of this show.
I tried to look for the German version as well, but I couldn't find it. But I've watched the American version, and I watched some of the UK version, just enough to kind of get what was changed. So everything that I will be talking about on my set of notes will be from the American version. So if there's any differences, that'll be why. So, from the United Kingdom, Chaos 2.
Flipper! Wait, sorry, wrong series.
Yeah, so Chaos 2...
No, keep doing that.
All right, I will.
Great.
That's going to be interesting with later contestants. So Chaos 2, sure. The two-time UK champion, still at this point the defending UK champion, though, as was pointed out by John Biss, didn't have the greatest run in the previous World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Also not benefiting from the fact that its opponents are now 20 kilos heavier. Because this is the first championship where the weight limit was increased from 80 kilos to 100.
Their opponents, introducing first, from the United States of America, Manta.
Spinning Blade. That's what the wiki said, okay?
Which was, it's from, so as Grizz mentioned, American, one of the few robots that the actual robot competed in BattleBots, Robotica, and Robot Wars, as opposed to the team.
The big three?
Yep, the big three. And, yeah, is very lucky in this match, quite frankly.
Their opponents, from Italy, Mastiff.
Lifter. He made me do it. I'm going to do it.
I know. Wait, so I'm just in
the... Alan's just not used to it.
Yeah. Mastiff, this is a robot we're never going to see again.
Aww. What a load of bull.
It's a big...
Come on.
Yeah, boy.
It's a big triangular robot with a flipper. Apparently, they say in the description, it can't self-right, which turns out to be wrong.
Yes.
They're just trying to trick people like me.
Yeah.
And from Germany, Ansgar.
Lance.
Which won a four-way German melee to enter into this match. This robot was originally meant to be one of the four. There was meant to be a pilot for a German episode filmed, and it got cancelled. So the
No, Alan, silly boy. The pilot's coming the next episode. Because the next episode is the
Forces Special.
The Armed Forces Special.
Which two people volunteered to guess on.
Those poor lads. Because I watched it earlier on today and I sat there going, I didn't even pay for this and I want my money back.
Yeah. As I said, they chose it. They had the option to do episode 15 or episode 17 and they chose episode 17. So it's their fault.
This is on your heads now, boys.
So
yeah, because when this four-way that you mentioned happened a few weeks ago, Were they not kind of saying that this was essentially meant to be, you said it was like the pilot, but I felt like I read or I heard somewhere that Ansgar was going about sort of self-proclaiming themselves as like the first German champion because they won that match.
I don't know. Technically, if you win a contest of all the German robots, you probably do have the right to call yourself the German champion.
Mm.
Also, I noticed this championship must have been taped really early on because the arena looks brand new.
Mm. Yeah.
It does not look like the arena that we saw in last week's episode.
Yeah, which looked as if it was all dug up and shit.
Wooden floors, yo.
Yeah. So just before we get into the match, we had Mick Foley as the host, former multi-time WWF champion, and former backyard wrestler. That was a reference to before we got on the podcast. But he was the host, and we had Rebecca as the backstage reporter for the American version. She interviews Team Chaos 2 and kind of implies that she was like, us users are kind of considered like celebrities in the UK, like sort of implying that the Robot Wars event was happening in America and not Americans are in the UK. George explains a robot and there's just this look on Rebecca's face. It's like, I didn't catch a word of that.
Seems very fitting for someone sharing my name.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the British version, there's a very distinct thing. They interview all the teams, and it becomes very clear that one team does not speak English.
Yeah, and like, why didn't they get someone on to translate? Because that seemed like really lame to me. Like, it's not to just go, ha ha ha, you don't speak English. Like, it really wouldn't have taken them long to get a translator in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It seems just, I don't know.
Okay,
it annoyed me on their behalf.
Well, let's wait until we get to the end of this match, and then we'll discuss that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Rebecca also interviews Team Ansgar, and they explain their high-speed spear that goes 300 times per minute. Rebecca says, that seems scary. And then the Ansgar driver just goes, that's okay.
Yeah.
So we get into the actual match, and all four robots kind of pair off to begin with. As Alan kind of alluded to, they says that Master cannot self-write, and it gets put to the test because Chaos 2 flips it immediately, and then Master self-writes.
So, yeah. Chaos 2 then manages to do some... I've never seen this happen before. So Chaos 2 goes to charge at Mastiff, pushes into Mastiff. Mastiff flies over the top and Chaos 2 keeps going.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, so the pet got activated by Mastiff and then Chaos 2 kind of sets... He takes his time. It just kind of sets up. It's like, there you go. Okay, perfect. You're both in the pet. This is going to be an easy victory for now.
I laughed out loud at Chaos 2 going in the pit. I was just George, you knob. You've let the Brits down. Come on.
I mean, to be honest, at this point, I was going to say, at this point, he must be really tired from the amount of matches he's probably had. But as Alan Kay alluded to, the arena does look very, very like clean and pristine. So maybe this was an early fight. Well, he hadn't woken up yet.
Well, I think actually this was, because as I mentioned, so Series 5 and Extreme were taped in two batches. One of them was during the American Championship, the other was during the Dutch. So this is actually probably the first or second match Chaos 2's had.
Yeah. So maybe we could put it down to tiredness or something.
Yeah.
But also, like, the way that, you got to kind of look at it in the way of, from George's perspective, up in that cherry picker, Mastiff was right in front of Chaos 2, and Chaos 2 is a tiny little robot. Maybe he just couldn't see his own robot, so he just completely misjudged the drive.
Yeah. I mean, you could. The reason it was like kind of funny is like you could see how easy it would be to do. Yeah. You know, and like, I think it's something I would probably do a lot, but like, it was, yeah, it was just crazy.
And as I said, it means that, Rebecca, you have seen, to this point, the two times Chaos 2 has lost early in a competition.
It was the highlight of the match.
The two-time...
It was.
The two-time UK champion as well, we should probably mention. He has won two UK championships.
And then Manta does what Chaos 2 couldn't, pits Mastiff, and then just starts ragdolling Ansgar.
Yeah, there was this really weird edit where you see, like, Manta, I was about to say Mastiff, you see Manta, like, reversing into Ansgar, and then the camera cuts, and then all of a sudden Manta's just facing the right way around, and it's like, that was weird editing.
Oh, there's a really weirdly edited fight later on, but we'll get to that.
Yep, so Ansgar was pretty much almost out from, like, the initial attack of Manta, and it's left on the flame pit. Riftbot is surprisingly speedy with his count, and Ansgar's counted out, and Manta advances.
So, yep, we have our first American through.
We go up to the interviews, United States style, as Mick Foley asks George what happened. George just kind of says he misjudged it. Foley then goes over and speaks German to Ansgar, and then they reply. Then he turns around to Team Mastiff and just goes, "Buongiorno!" And they go, "Buongiorno!" And he just goes, "And now let's talk to Manta." So clearly he also got the...
No.
It was not much better on the English version either, because Craig Charles goes up to the team captain and he just goes, "I don't speak English." And then Craig just goes, "Buongiorno!" And then goes to another team.
It's so bad.
So we need to see budgets for you.
Mick at least kind of turned it a little bit into a joke. But
I mean, it's not the only cringe thing on that episode, because I can't remember which fight it came before, but it was just before it cuts from Craig doing one of his little intro things to Julia in the pit. And he says, like, show us what they've got, girl. And I just went, man.
20-year-old television.
Yeah.
So it's funny looking at these two interviews back to back, because clearly that happened to Craig, and then Mick Foley came on, done his set of interviews, and knew what to do. So he was just like, "Buongiorno, okay."
I feel sorry for them, for that team as well, because it must be like, oh, we've done the interview, we can go home now, and then suddenly Mick Foley shows up, this enormous... American who's missing half his teeth
and an ear
because he's had them punched out. If you'd never met Mick Foley, he must be terrifying.
Americans really complain about British teeth.
Yeah, but to be honest, when it comes to British teeth, that's just how they grow in people's faces. Like, Mick Foley has actually had half of his knocked out, which kind of, you know, at least he's got, like, a reason as to why his teeth look
he's
like that.
He's got excuse, at least.
Yeah. Yes, that's the word. Thank you.
So, on to the second match.
Mm-hmm.
Which features another Briton and another American.
Yes. Some countries are getting a bit... what's the word? They're kind of... doubling up or tripling up or quadding up on a few countries over others.
Well, half
there, but...
the entrants are British or American.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but... Or I was expecting it after the last one where they sort of faked where people were from, but yeah.
At least it's more genuine this time,
absolutely.
Can I excuse myself for doing the Skeletor voice for Whirlpool 70? Because... I couldn't determine what its weapon was from looking at the episode, and I had to consult the wiki.
I love how you're getting the apology in advance.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I was like, what is it? It's got a swimming pool motor, or it's a vacuum or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so I consulted the wiki and it said blades and hooks. And
okay.
I was like, okay. And then I went back to look at it and said, where's the blades? And
where's the hooks?
Where's the hooks? Okay. So I'm going to excuse myself from doing the Skeletor voice for that one.
Okay.
No, it'd be even funnier if you did. The blades and your hooks.
I should attempt it.
Okay, well, we'll start off with that one then. So, from Sweden, Whirlpool 70.
Blades and hooks.
Ah. I can't describe this spot. It's a thing. It's, that exists.
Yeah, it's mad. It's no surprise they make flat pack jokes about it.
So it's, in theory, I think it's meant to be, in fact, I think even in the cheat sheet I sent you, Rebecca, I described it as a full body spinner.
Mm-hmm.
But full body spinner.
I mean, it looks cool in that it looks different, but.
Yeah.
It's just not exactly very practical, which is kind of the problem.
It doesn't strike me as practical.
Yeah.
Introducing next, from the United States of America, Drillzilla.
Drill and steel jaws, according to the wiki.
I'll be honest, its main weapon in this is it's enormous. It's 160 kilos, because this is the weird point in history where shuffle bots counted as walkers. It's interesting because obviously Grizz and I have been doing this in historical order. So this was at the same time that a robot called Son of Waiachi won BattleBots, also with a shuffle bot to move. And yeah, I don't know how I feel about this because, as it will probably be referenced in a future event, I quite like the idea of teams reading the rules, realizing the interpretation and taking advantage of it.
So some examples would be totally fine, but some I think would be considered cheating.
It's not happened yet. There's about 3 matches before it.
but
the reason that Drillzilla is
the two in question happened in this match and this show again, like last week.
So Drillzilla is a walking robot that can go 30 miles an hour.
Mm.
Whereas I don't think any other walking robot at this point had achieved 3 meters an hour.
Yeah, thanks, Taco. Well, Taco just jumped up on the bed and turned my Robot Wars off the telly. So thanks for that.
So, yeah, Drillzilla... Yeah.
Yeah. From the Netherlands, Meat Machine.
Pickaxe thing, I think. Was it a toothpick?
It is apparently a pickaxe. This is how you can tell this was filmed before Dutch Robot Wars, because this robot went out in the second round of that series. This also shows up in the actual main UK championship at some point as well.
All right.
So this is actually the robot that probably appears in the most championships. Actually, I think this might be the only one to appear in all 4 programs.
Wow. That's quite impressive when you think about it.
Particularly because it's awful.
Yes. Yeah, well, mainly that, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, this machine of any machine is the machine that gets to appear on the most different variations of Robot Wars. Yeah, that's it's quite a feat indeed. And from the United Kingdom, Firestorm 3.
Flipper.
So, yep, Firestorm, which is red and yellow wedge.
Red and yellow.
Front almost got a front flanged. Front hinge flipper. Which
flange flipper.
And Yeah, I mentioned this earlier in Robot Wars Extreme as a series. Now, I've met Alex Muldew. Graham, you've met Alex Muldew. Sarah, you've met Alex Muldew.
I adore Alex Muldew. And if I'm being brutally honest, Sore Loser is probably one of my favourite Beatles ever. Is it not just so cool? And it keeps getting better as well. And I also have to credit him with driving and operating it so much, because it's such a bugger to drive. And I have proof of this because in BuggerBots 1, you remember there was the ref rumble where mm-hmm. Shane had Sore Loser and Tim had another robot. I've slept since then, okay? And I mean, Shane's a very good driver and he was struggling with the gyro, and it's just like, if Shane is struggling with it, how the hell does Alex do it?
Mm.
So, yeah, it's, oh, man, it's one of my favourite Beatles. And also, I completely, I think because Alex Muldew wasn't the team captain of Firestorm, he wasn't sort of somebody I overly paid attention to. So I got to know him better because of BuggerBots. And now going back and seeing young Alex Muldew as part of Firestorm is like, oh, he looks so young. Yeah, what a
cheeky cheeks.
Yeah.
And I don't know what is, for some reason, Firestorm seem to be, they almost seem to get an instruction, appear as completely arrogant as possible in your interviews, which is a shame, because it kind of annoys me.
I didn't think they were in, maybe it's because I was watching the British version, but I didn't feel like they were being particularly arrogant in this episode anyway.
I didn't think they were this time, no.
But there's been a couple, well, like, as I mentioned, the fight with Wild Thing, they just came across as completely, like, dismissing the LR team out of hand, and it was just like,
fair, the hosts are pretty biased, so, like, you know.
Yeah, oh, they are.
Yeah, so it's also how they frame things.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you still bring up, like, arrogant teams. It's like, I don't know. I don't think they're one of the more arrogant teams, but...
Oh, no, I don't think they're, I don't think they're anywhere near the most... not even in this episode. But,
no.
But I don't know. It's just... I don't know. I think it's just the Wild Thing interview again. It's just put my nose out of joint with that team.
Is it because for you, like, in your eyes, obviously, Firestorm's never really won anything, so why are they so arrogant?
Not won anything, just I've always... Right, you know when you meet someone and they're perfectly lovely and there's nothing, they've done nothing to you, but for some reason you're just like, nah.
Yeah, like me?
I accept that that's generally people's reaction to me, but but anyway,
moving on.
Neat Machine and Whirlpool 70 might as well not have been in this match.
Yeah, I mean they were.
No,
let's be honest. They were. You could be convinced they were just sacrificial.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Whirlpool 70 is why I earlier said it felt like they just kind of grabbed whoever was ready to go, and it was just like, oh, is your robot working? Cool, right, you be in this.
Yeah,
because it's like, what even is it?
Is the
there
weird
did
thing,
seem to be a lot of sacrificial robots.
It doesn't even show up in anything else, so they've come over, I'm assuming from Sweden, just to turn up and get bombed out in 30 seconds and then don't get any more matches.
I mean, did it even make it off of its starting position?
No, that's the South African robot.
Yeah, it got pushed. So yeah.
I was gonna say, remember at least one of them. Yeah, it was the South African one. Just didn't even make it off the starting position and got pushed more than anything.
That robot barely even made it into the arena.
I mean, what does it say about Whirlpool 70 that I confused it with the other one that didn't make it off the starting point?
Hey, I think in about a week, if we were to ask you, hey, which of these two robots you remember more, and you just gave you the two names, you would probably be, oh, Whirlpool, obviously, because it was so bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get in here, Team Drillzilla was interviewed backstage. They says, "Oh yeah, for all their opponents, we're gonna leave them as big steaming hunks of metal, hunks of metal, in the arena."
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad I didn't like watch the American version now. Because based on that, I wouldn't like this team based on their interview either.
So Drillzilla goes straight for Whirlpool, and Storm takes Drillzilla into the CPZ. So like just a cluster of robots all in the corner, while Razor's just kind of sitting there like, he's doing that. Wait, god damn it, cut! I got confused because Razor was on my screen. Would have clearly already watched him. Right, take okay. two. So just a big cluster of robots just in the corner. Whirlpool gets pinched by Sir Kay. Firestorm flips the Neat Machine. And Neat Machine, like, we've obviously spoken about him before with the big, weird... I don't even really want to say it's like an offensive weapon, but that big thing that sticks out the front of it...
That
clearly
phallic
prevents
thing,
it.
Yeah.
That clearly prevents it from self-righting because it gets flipped over. And
go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, despite Whirlpool 70 sort of not being particularly effective, it is one of the three highlights of this fight for me. I'll give it that. Because it and Neat Machine both get floor flipped upon count out, and they were fantastic flips. That was good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that the floor flipper is finally its final form, it's a sight to behold.
And for what it's worth, my third highlight was Drillzilla breaking the pit release button, because I love it when the arena gets smashed up. Not that I'm biased or anything. Deep six.
Oh, dear. Like a deep six.
I like to make the arena cleaners work it.
Well, arena cleaner barely worked. Throughout that celebrity episode.
And now you know my motivation.
So, despite the fact that Firestorm is the one that actually put the two robots that went out, because Drillzilla slammed Firestorm around for about 2 minutes, Drillzilla wins the match.
Yeah. It was an interesting sort of decision there.
Yeah, I don't know. A weird edit, I have to say, as well. But
In the British edit, Craig Charles made a point of saying that the judges awarded it to Drillzilla based on aggression.
Yeah. Which it was aggressive, to be fair.
I mean yeah. I don't disagree with them in that respect, to be honest. I mean, okay, you can argue, yes, Firestorm 3 took out the other two, but Whirlpool wasn't really working to begin with, so does that really count as a knockout? And I feel like Sir Killalot did more damage to Neat Machine than anything else did, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's really pretty much it. Foley interviews Team Drillzilla, and they says that really one of their biggest weaknesses would have been Firestorm, but they managed to get past them, so... They're looking forward to the next round quite positively. But who will join them?
Could Drillzilla actually work upside down?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, because in the later fight with Razor, you see a close-up of the top of it, and it's still moving around whilst Razor's got it in its clutches. And it doesn't look like the mechanism is coming up from it, if that makes sense. So yeah. I don't think it can run upside down on that basis.
I thought that was the whole point of it, was because it has that exposed, that if it was to get flipped upside down, it would still be able to run.
I've slept since then, and I may stand corrected.
To be fair, I think all of us have slept since watching the episode.
I may have slept during some of the interviews.
Understandable.
So, but, Shall we move on to the next one?
Yep. I have an interesting question about the next fight. Well, two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, did the Americans get the joke of D'Otio? Did they understand that it was meant to be a joke bot?
Well, what I will tell you is, before the fight, Rebecca was backstage. And she says, "Oh, it's my lovely boys from Ireland representing Diator with Ireland." So, So I was thinking I may go to Diator for my holidays.
I went to Diator for my holidays. It was very nice. The Guinness was lovely.
yes, you
the
were
minute
in
they said it was flammable, they kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. Well. I'm assuming you remembered the audio from the last time, Rebecca?
Vaguely, I remember going, oh, look, it's one that I like because it's like a bit more colourful, got a bit of personality. Oh, look, it says flammable. Wonder what's going to happen.
And also, in the American version, is the fight 1 minute and 19 seconds?
Right.
It was relatively long, I think. Because, like, see, the thing is, the four ways in the American version were, like, pretty damn long, but see, as soon as I got in the second round, it was just like, right, smash cut, they're both in the arena, 3-2-1 activate.
No, that happened in the British version as well.
I think what we're all missing here is we need to draw attention to the outfits of Brian Narve and crew in the Revolutionists, because they were just so American, weren't they?
Yes, like, so American.
Honestly, if America was a penis, Brian Narve would be the first to fellate it with those outfits.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I enjoy ribbing on Brian Narve. It gives me so much material. It gives me so much material.
The outfits. I was like, no.
Even freaking top hats. Star-spangled top hats. What? No. only Brian Narve.
I mean, because it's like, it's one thing just having the entire robot decked out in American flag, but then it's like, no, let's take it up a notch. Let's make it look like the entirety of America just threw up all over us.
Yeah, literally. It was just like, you know what? Covering the whole bot in America is just is not enough. It's not enough America. We need to go more America.
We need more America.
We need to out America America, right?
The only other things I could think
well,
they could
no,
do.
Actually, to be fair, this would be pre September 2001, but that was recorded, but yeah.
The only other thing I think they could do to try and be more American is to maybe get like American contact lenses, or like dye their beards red, white, and blue.
Or put guns on everything.
There is actually an American robot that fights in BattleBots with a cannon.
Of course there is.
Well, there was a
robot.
I say
this is the person who lived in America and is married to an American. Yes. But, you know, guns.
Yeah, sir, that's what I was going to say.
They've replaced the imperial system with bullets per square child.
Yes. Pretty much.
It's that old bald eagles per square hamburger. I don't know.
Oh, that eagle burger sounds delicious.
I find it telling that out of the two robots left in this match, that we haven't talked about Flensburger Power, but then again, I don't think Flensburger Power talk about Flensburger Power in this match.
German, and that's pretty much all you need to know.
And it travels about as far as it does in any other match it has. And also the defending world champions in this match.
Right, okay, let's quickly get the introductions out of the way, and then we can talk about them a bit more in detail. So, from the United Kingdom, Razor.
Crusher.
Razor, as I mentioned, defending world champion. At this point, still, it was a side event, so Razor's doing well. It's only in a proper championship that it was going out early at this point. Though that does change.
Eventually. From Germany, Flensburger Power.
Wheel cutters and spear.
Apparently.
Allegedly. Unconfirmed.
It's very green.
It is.
Yes.
It's like a camo doorstop.
It's actually a bit disappointing. They should have done the revolutionist thing. They should have dressed in pure luminous green. Would have broken the cameras, but...
Yeah, just to really lean into it.
Yeah.
From the United States of America, the revolutionist.
Cutting teeth, according to the wiki.
Full body spinner, the runner-up in the first Robot Wars US Championship, which was filmed in London.
And I think one of the only US robots to make it in a Robot Wars game.
Yeah, them and Panzer.
Oh, I missed an opportunity. I should have said its weapon was America.
Fuck yeah!
Fuck it. Hold on, I'll do this again. America!
Fuck yeah!
Fuck yeah!
Yeah.
BattleBots, fuck yeah! Robot Wars, fuck yeah! Sorry.
Oh no, in America, no Robot Wars. That's the whole problem. That's how BattleBots started. There was a falling out of the rights to Robot Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yawn.
Recommended book that kind of goes into details of that, Gearheads, if you can find it. I found a copy on Amazon for like $3. Mm-hmm. And I read it going to work for like 3 months. So I read like 3 pages a day, but I have a cooler story
for how I know about that. I was sat in Mike Lambert from Dan Tompia's garden while he told me over a few beers.
No, mine's is better. because I learned how to read.
Well, you, good sir, can go and fillet yourself.
Do you not think if I could, I would?
Yes.
See, this is why I got you on, Rebecca. I needed someone else sane.
No, I've done about that, but, you know, I'm trying.
It's just like me and Sarah, just like the two kids at a fucking wedding.
We're the crude ones here, aren't we?
Yes, definitely.
So, there is a final robot.
From Ireland, Dietor.
Wedge and scoop.
And
awkward silence.
Yes.
Yes.
It's almost like we've had to re-record this bit because Alan's Skype crashed.
Yeah, so basically we're annoyed that it did not set on fire. We wanted fire. Mm-hmm. We wanted flames.
You case a robot on fire, you want it to go on fire because it's a spectacle. This is totally why they went out of their way to have a purposefully made match for their old robot nemesis in season 2, where it's just, let's just set the robot on fire for a minute and a half.
I mean, let's be honest, when you see Dietor, you do just expect fire. That it's like its defining feature. And we didn't get it. It got held over the flame pit and nothing happened. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So it was a disappointment.
So there's some kind of flame retardant shenanigans going on here. I'm pretty miffed.
The one tactic that I can't believe they've never done is just their starting position is over the flame pit, so that when the match starts, they're already on fire and they're just charging like a
Well, that's a human what they did in their last fireball. Match, to be fair.
Oh.
I feel like the redeeming feature of this fight was that we did get to see the revolutionists fed to Matilda. To Matilda's ass, no less. I mean, you can't not love things getting fed to Matilda's ass, but I particularly enjoyed the revolutionists getting fed to Matilda's ass.
Yes.
Yeah, Rev didn't even really have a chance to get spun up. I mean, we are talking about, you know, Brian Navi and his spinning robots and their kind of
reliability.
Yeah. They're reluctant to want to do what they're supposed to be doing.
I mean, he didn't smoke, so, you know, it's got that going for it.
I mean, there's a first time for everything. At one point, Dietor tries to jump Razor from behind, which I just found really funny for some reason. It's just like, oh, bless, look, he's trying.
Only on this show, could you say. Took him from behind. Lovely.
So we've actually spent longer than the length of this match talking about this match. Nothing happens. Razor crushes a few things. As a minute and 19 passes, randomly there's a chunk of a robot just randomly in the middle of the floor with no explanation as who it's from, how it got there.
It was just a very early version of the Drop Zone.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 yada, yada. Judges, oh yeah, here we go. So, Mick Foley is standing there. He's like, what? Really? Oh, I can't believe it. Okay, the judges went for the Revolutionist. And they started celebrating. And he's like, no, I'm kidding. It was Razor. And they're like, what?
Yeah, that didn't happen in the British version.
No, that would have made me laugh. I would have liked to see that.
Yes, because they were like super excited for a second, yeah, and then Foley was like, no, obviously not.
Yeah, you could have gone, yeah, that's... I mean, I'm never going to argue about cruelty against the Revolutionist, but...
That's funny.
That said, it could be worse. You could be Yebo Robo.
Oh, yeah. Yubba-rubba. Sounds a bit like my my workplace just changed their name, which I can't tell you, but like, and it's a name that you can't say without kind of go blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So it makes me laugh every time.
Oh, damn it. I just watched an episode of Community yesterday, and like, just that whole jargling bit.
Yeah.
Like, the yubba-rubba, this reminded me of a bit from it, which I enjoyed highly. Ever seen Community? It's great. So, shall we move on to the fourth and final first round match?
Yep, I think we should.
Okay. From the United States of America, Panzer Mark II.
Flipper!
The current US champion. In fact, the only Robot Wars US champion, because, spoiler alert, it wins the other series as well.
Ah, you spoiled it. What's the point in watching it now?
12 weeks of material, that's what's worth for it.
I don't know if you should leave that, but to be honest.
Eh.
From South America, Yebo Robo.
South America? It was South Africa.
That's not what I said. Well, I guess all this is staying in. So, take two. From South Africa. Yebo Robo.
Can I say, that was like Tom saying that Chef Guerre was from Switzerland on Bugglebots when it was from Spain. And I adore how Tim trolled him afterwards, because he was in the interview. He said, oh, You've come here all the way from Switzerland, Spain, Tom, Spain. Oh dear, don't leave that in, but we left it in. And then he redid his line and said, so you've come all the way from Spain, shame you're going to go home in a bin bag. And then just as the fight started, it went 3, 2, 1, Tim shouts, for Switzerland! So you know what we should do? We should, when Yebo Robo gets in the arena, we should just shout, for South America!
I mean... It barely gets in the arena.
I'm pretty sure that when the lowering and rising walls come up, I'm pretty sure it bumps Yebo Robo on the butt, because it was so almost not in the arena that it got hit by the wall.
They try.
Well, they're weak.
Beef effort.
I mean, maybe you should just give them a high five.
Oh.
No, that wouldn't work any better.
Sarah's robot in Robot Wars was called High Five.
I said it wasn't mine. I helped build it a bit, but it was Dave's. Okay. And we even if I wanted to be as nice as I possibly could, we cannot deny that it sucked.
Well, I can't even say whether or not it did suck, because I didn't see it fight long enough to be able to say whether or not instantly.
It's a bone of contention on the wiki, and I think that the people who run the wiki keep arguing with somebody who keeps trying to edit it, because on the wiki, I think it said that High Five was immobilized after being reversed into by Worm. And that's not actually true. The reversing into it from Worm had nothing to do with it. It was because the receiver browned out. But it just so happened that Worm sort of hit it a bit, drove into it just before it broke down. So in the wiki, Worm is credited with having knocked out High Five. I mean, to be fair, also, it was freezing in there, and one of the nice guys from Worm lent me their hat, so I'm going to give them that win.
Okay, yeah, we should. That's a nice thing to do.
So,
low victory.
There's 2 other robots in this patch.
Yes, I saw a very good opportunity to get up and grab another bottle of cider, so I'm back. From Belgium, Philippa.
Lifting arms.
The same team that made Dipoposaurus Rex that fought in the first World Championship, and...
I love that name.
The fish, I like it.
I think this team's really hard done by in this fight. But we'll get to that.
A little bit.
And for the United Kingdom, Tornado.
Cheetah! I couldn't resist.
Come on. Can we at least get to the Tornado Razor match before we mention this?
It was between Demmer. That or saying I didn't recognise Tornado without the cage. So, I'm sorry. Andrew, I love you. And Oh, can I tell you an interesting story again? So I love story time. So it was the first ever Robo Nerd, and I was running around doing little interviews with Roboteers for shunt posting. And I spoke to Andrew, and I said, Andrew, it's been 20-odd years, and people are still saying Tornado cheated. What do you have to say to those people? And he said, go and get girlfriends. I thought that was wonderful.
Okay, I've got one. In fact, I've got a fiancé, so what else can you throw at me?
I'll re-interview Andrew next time your behalf.
Are you going to Robonerd? Because I'm certainly going this year, so...
I hope to. I just... I'm in this weird state of life at the moment where I can't plan too much in advance because stuff keeps happening, and...
So... Just to explain, RoboNerd is an event where everyone who did the old Robot Wars and new Robot Wars turns up at a car park in Wolverhampton, and nerds like me...
It's Comic-Con for Robot Wars.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. It's Robot Wars Comic-Con.
But in a pub car park, not in Birmingham NEC.
And they don't charge you extortionate amounts for autographs and photos.
Not all comic cons do, I would just like to point out. But if you go to ones that are actually based on comics, they don't charge anything for autographs.
I still can't afford it.
I just mean...
Yeah.
I just mean cons in general, because like that's a very key word in some of these cons.
Cons have become such a moneymaker.
Yeah.
Would you say that the cons have became a con?
Pretty much, yeah.
No, I mean, like, I didn't go to any in the
UK for ages, and then... I go to a couple now, but they're not ones that they charge. I would never pay for an autograph.
So,
and maybe pay for a photo, but it depends on who it's with. But anyway.
So the first half of this match is Tornado and Panzer fighting each other because the South African robot's dead and Philippa is so slow that I actually feel sorry for it because it runs over and it's like, I'm part of the... Oh, you've moved.
Oh, wait for me, guys. Wait for me. So, on the American feed, just before we get too deep in the match, Team Tornado say that Panzer, they're going to become pansies. Oh, gum. So Team Panzer say that they're going to take the win of Tornado.
How are they ever going to recover from that burn?
Wait a minute.
Just
apply
some...
We didn't have someone else going, oh, Tornado's just a stiff breeze.
Yeah, but Robo was one of the highlights of the fight, though, because it got flipped after being counted out, like the other two did. But it landed on Tornado and Panzer.
Which actually helped Tornado, because at that point Panzer had Tornado up on two wheels, so Tornado couldn't win the pushing match. Robo landed on top of Tornado, knocked it onto its four wheels, and it pushed back.
It was quite impressive, actually. And then they, like, as we love to make our wrestling references, pretty much the jobber winning a match by roll-up over, like, a main eventer, as Philippa comes in and flips over Panzer Mark II and eliminates it because Panzer can't flip itself back over.
Tornado was very grateful.
Yeah, because Panzer, yes. Panzer was winning that match.
100%. That was also the next thing in my notes of, was Panzer winning this match at the time it got flipped?
And then I actually think, again, I don't think Tornado does anything.
Oh, no! No! Taco. Sorry.
What the hell?
Taco tried to jump up. Oh, Taco's my cat, by the way. Taco tried to jump up on top of the wardrobe and slipped and fell off and landed on my.
Oh, buddy!
But he landed on my donut. My poor donuts.
Oh no!
That's amazing. Cats are the best.
They are.
Crushed donuts. You're right, buddy.
I do not know what to do with this information. I'm sorry.
My donuts. It was like, I was already sad that he fell off when he landed on the donuts. I was like, aww.
Oh, okay.
How could this get any worse? Oh, squash donuts, thanks. That's why I get for keeping donuts in my room, but, you know.
Well, so this incident was more action than Yebba Robo was.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, that was funny.
So I also
nailed it.
There was something else I noted originally. At one point, Philippa lifts both Panzer and Tornado at the same time.
My balls are this big.
It was very ballsy of them. I mean, like, they were super slow, yes, but you know what? Like, you can't argue that Philippa wasn't at least somewhat effective in this fight.
I liked it.
I compare it to the likes of Claws 2 in Bugglebots, because it's not overly fast, it's not destructive, but it gets far because it's very well driven and it's a little tank.
It is a little tank. Claws 2 was awesome.
But the judges have decided they want two British robots and two American robots, so Tornado wins.
I mean...
Oh, no.
I mean, let's face it, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, Philippa wouldn't have stood a chance against Reyes. Don't get me wrong; it would have been a 30-second match. But that's the only reason Tornado could possibly have won this match.
Yeah, I mean, like this would again go back to the kind of the discussion we were having a second ago. Like, if Panzer was still active in this fight, would it be put through to the next round, or would they still just went, no, Tornado was more aggressive or some shit?
No.
You know, just...
Well, it should have had a Shreemic.
Yeah.
Have you got a Shreemic?
I was trying to work that in somehow, but... Of course we have.
Of course we have.
Or not in the
we
case of Panzer.
We do not do Plunderbird jokes here. We've been there and done that. We have an All-American and All-British... semi-finals.
Totally not rigged at all.
Not rigged at all. And they immediately cut to Manta versus Drillzilla. And this match lasts, well, however many seconds over 1 second too long. Because this match is awful.
Yeah, Manta loses power pretty quickly, doesn't it? And then it's just a bit sad after that. And Drillzilla's got all that power. He just bullies it.
Like, there was the... Because it started off to be a potentially good match, because, like, Manta was actually pushing back against Drillzilla, and then it's like, and you're dead. And it's like, well, it was fun while it lasted. It could have been a really good match, but Manta just conked out really early.
So we'll move on to the other semi-final. Rebecca, if you want to go to bed, seriously, we'll still be talking about these two robots facing each other.
I'll try and keep going.
No, I'm saying this as a... I'm kind of saying this as a gag as well, because...
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Razor versus Tornado.
I thought we covered this match.
Oh no, it's the exact same match as the All-Star Final. The same thing happens. It is literally the same match.
Right, why don't we just take the audio from last week and just splice it in here, and then we can...
Because what happens is basically, Tornado's strength is it is so fast it can get to the side or behind people. The problem is Razor turns so quickly it can't do that. And it's a big flat box.
Mm. I just realised I spelt tornado wrong on my notes, and I've put Tordano.
Nice.
That sounds delicious.
You call it that.
It sounds like something you would get from like a Mexican restaurant. It's like, I'll have the Tordano, please.
Yes, I'll have the Tordano, please. Thank you, waiter.
with extra cheese.
Por favor. Thank you.
The other thing do notice is Tornado is using a different... They're not using the spinning disc for this. They're using the wedge thing.
The big beef wedge.
Not that it makes any difference at all.
No.
Well, you did have a little bit of tension as sort of Razor tried to get it in the pit. And then it was like, nearly.
It's awful to watch because it is. It's just like, you're watching and Razor's trying desperately not to drive in. It's trying to detach Tornado from its... face.
Like the front,
and
the front
sticky
of
plastic is just
Razor.
Like not having it. It's like, no, I'm staying here.
The front of Razor is dipping in the pit, and it's like whoa, and it's like I don't know. It's even if Razor fell forward, they would probably just both be stuck in the pit. And I know that's probably going to be really unusual for Tornado, which never seems to just get stuck on the pit.
Oh, here we go. Right. Again, Rebecca, this is something I think I mentioned. Yeah, I did mention the cheat sheet.
Tornado cheated.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why it's called the cheat sheet? It's just a sheet and it just says Tornado on it. This is the cheat sheet.
That'd be good.
So, yeah, I do think it becomes very clear that Tornado learns a lot from this match and the previous match with Razor, that they kind of go... There's no way we can beat him conventionally.
Or legally.
So we've got to think outside the cage.
Exactly.
Well, they were definitely thinking out the box because they're just a box robot.
So.
Just wanted to make fun of it.
Yeah.
It is a box.
I do
think. It is just a box.
Yeah, no, it is. To be fair, not as much of just the box as Storm 2 will be, but yes, it is just...
Mm-hmm.
And in this event, just a box.
And there's definitely reasons why I hate Storm 2 as well.
That said, in Extreme, it does actually use the spinning disc quite effectively in general. It's just not in this particular event.
No. Do you know what the thing is? See, as much as I give Tornado shit, I like Tornado a hell of a lot better than I like Storm 2. Full disclosure. And see, part of it is because I don't like Team Tornado. I think that like they're when we were talking about teams earlier coming off as arrogant, I just always thought Tornado team
absolutely.
Were just super arrogant all the time. But you know what? Like, do you know who's even more arrogant? Arrogant? Bleh. Storm 2. Like, that one dude in Storm 2, like, boils my piss, as people say.
Didn't that I tell you he was going to be our guest in the next episode?
So you're not having Ed Hoppit on next episode?
No, we're not. No.
is that his name?
I've met him, and I don't mind him, right? He's not somebody... I would be like super cool friends with. We're just two worlds apart and lead two very different lives. But I can see why people have an issue with him on the show because, as you say, he does come across as very arrogant.
You don't know how
and
much of that.
And I can also appreciate how he rubs certain people up the wrong way. But I personally remain opinionless on the matter. I don't mind him. I've met him at a couple of events. He's all right. He's always been polite to me. My teammate bought some motors off him recently.
I mean, yeah, that's obviously always the thing is like when you're on TV and like this, like obviously you can be depicted a certain way, which you obviously may not be in real life. I mean, hell, even the way that maybe I act and talk in this podcast, sometimes there's probably some people listening and go, man, that guy's a dick. So I suppose it's just all about kind of the way it's presented.
I mean, if there was a villain of Robot Wars award, he'd be a strong contender, don't get me wrong. But how much of that is playing up to the camera and how much of that is genuine is, you know,
well, anybody's guess. Something, that's something that totally. Tombstone and Hydra's learned.
Yeah. But, like, they bring it up more and, like, kind of emphasize that it's a bit of an act, but, like, just Storm 2, like, they just, they walked about as if they were, like, the fucking cock of the walk.
Guess what robot you're going to see a lot of the next time you watch World Championship, Rebecca?
That's amazing.
So, it does kind of, I actually did notice, my notes basically, about four-fifths of it are the first four matches, and literally my notes for this last match are the two robots in it, Razor and Drillzilla, the two Harris robots in it, Sakilalot and Sergeant Bash, and Razor goes after the feet. Occasionally it goes after the shell, but it can't break the shell of Drillzilla because it's OP. And at the end of the match, Drillzilla is smoking and might not be moving.
Yeah.
Smoking
and might not be moving. It was over pretty fast.
As we kind of alluded to, there was no pomp and circumstance for this final. It was just, it's Drillzilla versus Razor, and they're in the ring. The arena, sorry.
I thought the whole vibe felt weird to me. Like, if this is a championship, it just felt very low-key.
It was very rushed.
Yeah, it lacked fanfare, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, because there was barely any interviews. I think there was, like, maybe one interview with Razor before it, and even that was very short. And then it's just, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, to be
fair, if I make a comment about Ian Lewis's camo trousers, the orange camo, I mean, just with the blue shirts as well, just why?
They still wear camo trousers, but
I kind of like the camo trousers, but yeah, obviously
I like camo trousers, but not in that color.
I mean, it will obviously depend on the shirt that you combine with it.
I say that Ian Lewis is lovely, and he was recently at a Beatle event I was at, and I was helping a friend of mine who's relatively new in the community. It was his first Beatle, but I think it was his only second ever event with this Beatle.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked for some help because he couldn't drive and spin at the same time. So he asked me to do the spinner. And at the event...
You should have probably not spin while you're trying to drive a robot. That would be very confusing.
I mean, some roboteers do weapon and drive very well. I'm not one of them, so and neither was he.
I don't think you got what the joke was. I was implying that he was actually spinning around.
Yeah, I think she was choosing to ignore it.
Well,
I never get right. I was just trying to be a dick as usual.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Ian Lewis turned up at this event, and I was sat with my friend, saying, "Oh, by the way, Ian Lewis is here." He went, "No way, really?" And then launched into, you know, how I, you know, watching Ian Lewis as a kid and stuff like that. And then a bit later on in the event, I saw Ian, and I said, "Oh, Ian, would you mind coming over to meet my teammate, because he's another person who has, you know, watched Robot Wars as a kid and obviously knows you, and it just it make his day to meet you." And so he was like, "Yeah, sure, no worries." So he came over to meet my teammate, and it was just so wholesome watching my teammate just, you know, go complete fanboy, relive his childhood, and I took some pictures for them and stuff, and it was so wholesome. I enjoyed that.
Like, it's kind of hard, though, like, I mean, because, like, obviously, like, kind of grown-ups now and all that kind of stuff, but, like, you just remember, like, what these kind of people meant to you when you were a kid, so you just then turn right back into, like, you know, your 8 to 10-year-old self when you were watching them on TV, and it's just like,
wah! Did I tell you the story of what Dave Laurie from Jellyfish did to me when I met John Reed for the first time? Okay, so... Everyone knows John Reed, right? He's one of those roboteers like Ian Lewis. Everyone knows,
just
right?
The guy, the captain of Kilohertz, the robot that you saw fight in the first World Championship. The one with the big axe.
That Charmander on it.
Hey, so when I competed on Robot Wars with High Five, I was going to meet John Reed for the first time. And we're in the pits, and I was chatting with Dave Laurie from Jellyfish, who I'd become friends with online. So me and him were meeting sort of in real life for the first time as well. And I said, I was utterly fangirling over the fact that Terahertz was there. I was just, oh my God, you know, Terahertz, John Reed, oh my God. And Dave said, I'll take you over to meet him if you want. And I was like, no way, you know. And yeah, okay, so we walk over to John Reed, and Dave says to me, oh, by the way, John's a serious man, and you should rein in the fangirling a bit. You know, he doesn't like, you know, massive amounts of extreme fangirling or fanboying. I said, okay, I shall bear that in mind. And then we got to Terahertz's pit table, and Dave introduces me. He says, hi, John, this is Sarah. She's a massive fan. Oh, thanks, Dave. And then I then thanks, went Matt. Full, oh, my God, it's Terahertz. And I said, there's no lie. I said, can I touch your robot? I love it.
I would have done that, though. I've done similar things to creators when I've met them, just gone and said the first thing on my head, even if it was the, this is what you should not say to them.
Yeah, it's still there, and the words left my mouth.
Yeah, it's like only in probably like maybe Robot Wars where you can go up to someone and go, can I touch it? I love it. Because I don't think if I walked up to Kent Dennings and said that same thing that it would work as well.
Probably not.
No. I've also technically licked Razor.
Wow.
Nice.
So it wasn't intentional. Tom Brewster and I were taking a selfie when Tim Rackers held a watch party for the reboot of Robot Wars. And Tim knows Ian very well. And so Ian brought Razor along. So Tom and I did a selfie with Razor, and we were poking our tongue outs as well to do like silly photos. And I just got a bit too close to Razor's beak, and I did technically lick it, which is not in the photo, but I will claim, because it did happen, my tongue did touch the tip.
So you probably tasted.
I've tasted Razor. Oh, God. Tasted Razor tip.
That's only hope. You've tasted the not being putrefied on this episode. Gone.
you've tasted the defeat of hundreds of robots.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why my robot keeps getting defeated.
It won once.
By Razor.
It won once.
It did.
On Christmas Day.
It did. That's true.
Right, so there's this really bizarre point right at the end of the match where the ref bot just starts counting, and then the match ends.
Because it's counting down the end of the match, not one of the robots.
But why does it never do that in any other match ever in the history of ref bot being in Robot Wars?
Not maybe it doesn't, they just edit it out.
And that was just really weird, because it was like, Drizella's still moving, who are you counting out here? And the match is over. Mm-hmm. So... no real surprise, Razor wins, two-time world champion. In the American feed, Rebecca comes and gives them the trophy, and she looks so reluctant to. Like, she kind of said something along the lines of, I'm here to award you this trophy, and then just hands it to her. Like, no kind of pomp and circumstance whatsoever, because obviously she's American, and having to award the world title to a UK robot stingy.
I mean, that's a bit rude, though, because, I mean, to be fair, the Drillzilla team even said they thought the judge's decision was correct. Obviously, they're disappointed they lost, but they said themselves, at least in the British version, they said no, they thought the decision was fair and that Razor had dominated the fight, so...
Yeah. Not much you can really do about it, I mean...
Salty Americans, huh?
And some are, yeah.
Well, you've tasted some of the American salt from that event, probably.
So, yeah, well, that was the one thing I was going to say when you brought up Terahertz. It's like, yeah, I'll still love Terahertz, but Beta, though. Speaking of salty victories, that rotator victory.
So many references that I don't understand either, because I've not watched most of BattleBots.
No, you must have seen that match, because I think I sent you like a paragraph of me just ranting.
That's why I didn't watch it.
because I told you it in excruciating detail.
Exactly. So we do have some trivia, which is quite long. So I've just realised we're at about 10 o'clock. Rebecca, we're probably going to end up talking for about 10, 15 minutes. And I know that you've not been well, and I know that it's late. Do you want to head off? Or?
I think I will.
No, thank you now, for turning up at all. Genuinely, thank you so much.
And it's been great to talk to you all. And I will listen
nice meeting
to
you.
Trivia. All right.
Generally, Rebecca, thanks for coming on this.
Thank you, and yes, you were completely right, and I was wrong, as usual.
You know, it happens. All right, yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
We do have quite a lot of trivia, so I'll probably...
Can you plow through it, because it is getting a bit late, and we've been here quite a while.
So... At the start of the episode, the Danish flag can be seen in the pits, alongside what may be an unidentified robot. This suggests the possibility of a Danish entry which withdrew from the competition, but this has not been confirmed.
Or denied.
Yep. The UK broadcast was notable for featuring inaccurate commentary pertaining to the UK entrance. Contrary to Jonathan Pearce's claims, neither Firestorm nor Tornado competed in the previous World Championship. Tornado hadn't even been built by the time of the first, well, at the time that the first championship was filmed.
Oh dear.
Chaos 2 and D'Otio were eliminated in the quarterfinals and semifinals respectively, not the heats of the previous championship. Suspiciously, Pierce's erroneous claims mirrored the eventual results of the championship.
Slow clap.
Furthermore, in its semi-final against Razor, Tornado was claimed to be fitted with its drum by Pierce, despite clearly being fitted with its charity scoop. Wow. And inaccuracy was also evident in the US broadcast when Mick Foley announced Switzerland as the one of the competing nations.
Oh, that's where Tom Bridge got it from.
The UK broadcast was unique in that whilst it was broadcast as and considered part of the first series of Robot Wars Extreme, it did not feature the Extreme logo or any Extreme-specific closing rhyme by Craig Charles. Not that we would know, because they put an advert at the end of the the version that we watched. So I think all of us skipped over it.
Wanted.
The episode... Ood's place in Extreme One is supported by Julia Reed's appearance as pit reporter, who fulfilled the role in every other episode of the series. The first round of the Second World Championship marked the only loss by would-be two-time US champion Panzer MK during its entire Robot Wars career.
And it went to Philippa.
Philippa's statistic board misspelled the robot.
Fantastic.
Tornado and Philippa would later fight each other in the European Championship, broadcast as part of the second series of Robot Wars Extreme and German Robot Wars. It was also another tournament where Tornado had the cage. Despite Heat 3 being a full 5-minute fight in recording, it was edited down to only 1 minute and 19 seconds for television. Also, and this one I actually did want to ask Sarah a bit about, because you'll know a bit more about the details of stuff like this. The Second World Championship offered the largest cash prize in the history of Robot Wars, with a total prize fund of £50,000 shared amongst the competing teams. Of the total fund, $25,000 was awarded to the eventual winner. So, is that...
I know nothing about prize money.
But is that... I know, obviously, it's 20 years later. Is that a lot of money for robots, or...?
I mean, it depends on the robot. What was it? You said 50,000?
Was the entire kitty, yes.
I mean, yeah. In terms of modern Robot Wars robots, which are considerably cheaper than their American BattleBots counterparts, that you could get a lot of robot for that money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Nelly cost £4,000, and I mean, and that's new Nelly. And it's not talking about old. Actually, no, old Nelly cost $4,000. This Nelly probably in total has cost us about $6,500 to $7,000. And you know, we're obviously no bite force, right? But at the same time, we can still put up a fight in the Battle Box Arena. And the flippers at the live scene flip us out of the arena quite regularly, but they don't damage us. So I could, £50,000, I could build a few Nellies for that as well. But then you compare it to the likes of Hypershock or Bite Force or whatever, and you're probably looking at getting one Hypershock, you know. So, yeah, it really depends on build style and how much work is going into it. There's no average cost of a robot, because a budget robot can do really well. I mean, most recent...
Jackpot?
Yeah, Jackpot was the example I was going to use. I think they spent about the same money that we spent on the first Nelly, and they got considerably further. So I couldn't even say there's like an average cost. If I remember rightly, Carbide was in the region of about 25,000. And that's if you account for all the hours that Dave and Sam put in doing a lot of cadding and stuff themselves as well. And I think if they'd had to outsource machining parts to other places, then it would have been more. But then also you've got to remember Carbide was originally built as Cobalt for BattleBots. And it was back in the days when they did stipends. So they had, I think it was about $8,000 in stipend from BattleBots. Plus, obviously, then you've got sponsorship stuff as well. But I think if I remember rightly, and I'll inevitably correct it if I'm wrong, that if they had completely outsourced all of Carbide, it would have been about $25,000. So meaning if they hadn't done, you know, the machining and stuff themselves and bits and pieces like that. But yeah, so I couldn't say. It was like, I could build a few Nellies for that money, but I couldn't build a few Hypershocks for that money.
It's still, when you consider Chaos 2, well, I don't know how accurate it is, but Chaos 2 cost £250.
I mean, Nuts doesn't cost more than £500, I think, and Nuts beat Carbide.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I suppose it's like the way that you say, Sarah, like, there's no like cap on how much a robot costs. It's like, it's kind of like when it comes to it, it's a robot's going to cost as much as it costs for you to be happy with it. So
yeah, and then you got to take into account the repair costs throughout an event as well.
Yeah, like, you know, spares and all that hoopla. But like Jackpot, as we kind of mentioned, was built. They kept saying, "Oh, it's the robot on a budget. It costs $4,000 to build." And it's like, if you're considering $4,000 a budget, like, obviously, and then I think like in one of the, it might have been the same episode, I think they brought up Malice and said that was upwards of $70,000.
It can be, quite intimidating, actually. I mean, when you think that like Nelly was in the region of Jackpot, it was about $4,000, and then we had repairs on top of that, which weren't too terrible. I think the worst one was Rainbow, cost us like $90 in plastic, and then after Deep Six we knew we obviously weren't serious Fight Night contenders, and we'd bodge her together for an exhibition match. So we made the conscious decision not to spend any more serious money on her after that. But yeah, I mean, she's not terrible. like I say, you can't put an average cost on a robot, because a budget bot can do really well, and an expensive bot can do really shit. So
Rapid and Jellyfish.
Rapid is a fine season. Example.
But Matt, Rapid was such a delight, though. The robot, I mean, like, it was quite a fantastic bot when it worked properly.
It was so funny just watching it be on fire, though, especially how they bigged up how much it cost as well. It's like, hey, rich boy built a robot, it's on fire.
Yeah, because it was just...
Was that the lipo going up?
I have slept since then.
Okay.
I can't remember. Probably.
Like, Was that not the one where, like, in the episode, it was him bigging it up, like, oh, this is a robot, and then did it, and then just in the background, it just catches fire, and he just turns around and goes, oh, and now it's on fire.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, that was...
And then he just laughs at that.
That was the second World Championship, which... Yeah, I preferred the first one. I mean, yeah, the first one had a load of bullshit stuff, but this was kind of quite underwhelming in parts. Certainly the main three matches at the end were all kind of a bit rushed.
Yeah, definitely. Just not very much happened outside of the four melees.
Yeah. But... Hey, Razor gets a second World Championship trophy. Thank you, Sarah, for joining us. It's been wonderful to have you back on the show. And
you're welcome.
I don't know how much I'm going to have to cut. Probably not much, but yeah, it's been great hearing some stories and.
So Sarah, I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When Bugglebots?
Oh god. Okay, serious answer. It's been up in the air for a while because I mean obviously COVID was a big thing.
Aye.
And that just screwed events up royally. And they're not quite the same even now. One of the producers actually left, I think about a year ago now. So since that, its fate has been very undecided, but the two of us who remained sort of didn't really know what to do because the pandemic was still going on and we just, you couldn't plan for the future in the height of the pandemic, could you?
Course,
because it was just, is there going to be another lockdown? Is there going to be restrictions? Is there going to be this? Is there going to be that? What's going to happen next? And so you couldn't plan. And so for a long time, myself and the remaining producer just said, you know, we'll just leave it. It's on extended hiatus. But recently, I think we're more coming to the conclusion of it's extremely unlikely. I would not advise people to get their hopes up about the return of Bugglebots because it's just like you got the pandemic still going on. You've got a massive cost of living crisis right now. I mean, just from my own perspective, I can't even afford to build a Beetle right now. So, because I just, everything's gone up, hasn't it? Fuel, heating, electricity, water, food, rent, everything. And, you know, people's lives have irreversibly changed since the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
So if I put my hand on my heart and said, is Bugglebots going to return? The most likely answer is no. But on that note, it's not official until Bugglebot says it's official, right? Because, you know, I know there's going to be like Reddit detectives after this going to be like, oh, Sarah's confirmed that there's going to be no more Bugglebots. That's not what I'm doing here.
If you want, we can edit this answer out. I mean, it's up to you.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Sorry, I should probably preface, like, I thought there was a new season happening, like, I thought I seen
that. You know what, we wanted to, after season two, we wanted to, but certain people among the crew wanted a break, which was understandable. Season two was a lot of hard work, and... So we had agreed it would be a while before we kicked off season three, and then the pandemic happened, and everything has completely changed. So
yeah, it's just more. I thought I seen an advert recently that said Bugglebots is coming back.
Oh, that was Jerome doing April Fools. He created a fake Bugglebots page and did an April Fools post.
Okay.
Well, okay, right. Okay, so that's answered the question. So it was all fake and I'm a fucking moron. There. You happy now?
No.
Well, you can go back and...
To answer the Reddit detectives who are going to be like, oh, you know, Sarah's confirming Bugglebots is not going on anymore. I'm not doing that because it's not official until Bugglebots says it's official. If anybody was asking me, oh, maybe I'll design something for future Bugglebots, like, don't bother.
There are plenty of other Beetleweight events if you want to have.
Exactly, you've got Rapture, you've got Bristol Bot Builders, you know. So...
Val and the Burrows coming back.
Oh, yeah, I've not been to that yet. I should go to that. But yeah.
Come on, Dan.
Don't pin your hopes on BuggleBots. It's extremely unlikely. Right,
well, I had my hopes on it with that, and so now I just look
I'm
foolish.
I'm sorry.
Foolish
broken your heart.
Let's finish on a happier question. How's Nelly doing?
Nelly's doing fine. She lives in James's garage at the moment, pending her next outing in July at a Robots Live event. We're unsure about BattleBots at the moment. I know a lot of teams have been posting that they've applied. We're still undecided if we're even going to apply. Because, I'm sorry, I'm going to give you... Nelly's fine, so that's the happy bit, right? Nelly's fine and she's great and she's happy, smiley, and she still loves life. Oh, man. It's again with the COVID thing with BattleBots. There's so many hurdles in place, and not just because of COVID. There's like two of my team, myself included, will have to find childcare for our children for 2 weeks, which is a lot to ask of somebody. And all of us would have to find time off work or study in order to do it as well. Then you have uncertainty with COVID. And also, it's no secret that a lot of builders are very disgruntled with BattleBots, particularly in terms of finance. You know, a lot of people obviously know that ByteForce withdrew because it felt that BattleBots was not compensating the builders as they should. There's been so many controversies in the last two seasons and this latest season in particular. So there's a lot of disgruntlement going around. We'd like to wait and see the outcome applied because we're sort of waiting to see how life goes and how builder negotiations go.
So if we don't see Nelly in BattleBots, where could we go and see Nelly in the United Kingdom?
A live scene. I just told you. July.
I know,
live.
Yes, that was a kind of thing to... You know,
I'm RoboNerd. If I can make it to RoboNerd, we'll get Nelly down for RoboNerd.
Excellent.
Yeah, there we go. Nailed it.
Also, since she's not here to promote her appearances, I shall do it for her. Rebecca appears on the Internight podcast, which is a Moon Knight podcast, which, for obvious reasons, has a lot of episodes coming out right now. She also occasionally appears on the Immortal Dragon... She also appears on the Immortal Iron Fist podcast as well, which I'll put a link to on... the show notes for this. She also appears on another program called the DCAU podcast, where she and some idiot that sounds a lot like me discuss DC comic book movies, such as the most recent movie that we'd released a podcast on was the Lego Batman movie.
Lego.
So that's where you can find other podcasts. Grizz, you're not doing any other podcasts at the moment, are you?
Not anymore. Demented Robots.
You may, and I say this as a very loose may, you may see the return of the Builders Playlist as a standalone show.
We'll have fingers crossed for that.
I've been talking to Alan Rera because, like I said, brutal honesty, we can't be bothered to do the shunt cast anymore. It's just so much effort. But I do miss doing the Builders Playlist. I love talking metal and bots with Al and Rera. So I've been fluttering the idea at them, saying, you know, maybe we could do this like a once a month thing. Because now that it's the off season for BattleBots, a lot of the podcasts are going to be a little bit quiet for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we thought it might be an opportunity to put some content out there and have some banter and metal. Why not?
Yeah, I've actually been quite surprised at how much we've held back on talking about metal throughout the show, considering all the other tangents we went off on.
So anyway, thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week where two poor souls have volunteered to watch the Forces special with us.
Oh, Alan, I hate you.
In the chat.